This is The Striker, Gods of the Game, Book 1. Written by Anna Wong. Narrated by Shane East and Stella Hunter.
Chapter 1. Asher. I didn't get performance anxiety, but there was nothing like 70,000 people watching you get fucked that really put a guy on edge. Sweat dripped into my eyes as I received the ball from the left winger. The crowd's cheers reached a fever pitch, and a tiny prickle of trepidation snaked through my gut. Usually the fans' enthusiasm revved me up. After all, I'd dreamed of moments like this growing up. Playing on a professional pitch, hearing thousands chant my name, being the one who took my team to glory. Moments like this meant I'd made it and proved my critics wrong, which I had, many times over. After all, I was Asher fucking Donovan. But today, in the last minute of the Premier League season final, I felt like just Asher, the newest and most controversial transfer to Blackcastle. It was my first season with the team. The match was tied, and we were second on the league table behind Holchester United. We needed a win to take home the championship, but so far, the match had been a clusterfuck of disasters. An intercepted ball here, a missed penalty there. We were all over the place, and I could practically see the championship slipping through my fingers. Frustration mounted as I tried to maneuver past the swarm of Holchester defenders. Bachi, Lyle, Kanu. I knew their tricks well, but they also knew mine. That was the problem with playing against your old team. There was nowhere to hide. With no way out, I passed the ball to another forward and tried to ignore the numbers ticking down on the clock. 40 seconds. 39. 38. The ball bounced between players until, through a stroke of equally good and bad luck, Vincent gained possession through a counterattack. The cheers dulled to a low roar beneath the weight of my anticipation. 17. 16. 15. I was in the perfect position to receive the ball. I had a clear shot at the goal, but I could see Vincent's eyes searching the pitch for someone, anyone else to pass it to. My pulse hammered in rhythm with the ticking clock. Come on, you bastard. There was no one else. I was the only player on our team who could feasibly score at this point. Vincent must have come to the same conclusion, because with a noticeable clench of his jaw, he finally kicked the ball to me. The crowd's excitement pitched high. But it was too late. Vincent's precious few seconds of hesitation gave Holchester an opening, and they stole the ball before I could connect with it. A collective groan rippled over the pitch. I blinked away the sweat and tried to focus, but my old team's taunting stares and the blaze of bright lights disoriented me in a way I hadn't felt since that match many moons ago. 5. An attempt to steal the ball back failed. 4. Flashes of news headlines and TV snippets blared in my head. Traitor. Judas. Sellout. Was I worth the record £250 million transfer? Or was I the most expensive mistake in Premier League history? 3. By some miracle, I got the ball on the second attempt. 2. No time to think. 1. I kicked. The ball went wide to the shrill of the final whistle, and the stadium fell so silent I could hear the rush of blood in my ears. All around me, my team stood, stunned, while the Holchester players jumped and whooped in celebration. It was over. We'd lost. My first season with Blackcastle, the one where everyone expected me to bring home a championship, was over, and we'd lost. My surroundings blurred into a muffled stream of noise and movement, and I barely felt the soreness of my muscles or a teammate's consoling slap on my back. I barely felt anything at all. No one spoke during our walk to the changing room, but the dread was palpable. The only thing worse than losing a match was facing coach afterward, and he barely gave us a chance to sit before he went off. Frank Armstrong was a legend in the football world. As a player, he was famous for his string of hat-tricks in the 90s. As a manager, he was famous for his innovative approach to leadership and his hair-trigger temper, the latter of which was on full display as he laid into us.
Are those the standards you play with?
He demanded.
Are those the fucking standards? Because I'll tell you, they're nowhere near championship level. They are fucking shit.
Lack of focus, terrible teamwork, no cohesion. He touched on all the issues that had plagued us since I transferred in mid-season, and it didn't take a genius to know why. Even as Coach berated us, head swiveled between me and Vincent, who sat on the opposite side of the room. Team dynamics had been fucked since I joined. Part of that was the natural consequence of incorporating a new member into a tight-knit club. A larger part boiled down to the fact that I, the league's top scorer, and Vincent, the club's star defender and captain, despised each other. We played different positions, but our rivalry was infamous. He was the only true competition I had for press, status, and sponsorships, important things in our world. But the biggest source of our contention was what happened at the last World Cup. The dive, the fight, the red card. I tried not to think about it. If I did, I might punch him in the face, and I doubted Coach would appreciate me doing that in the middle of his rant about teamwork.
Dubois! Donovan!
My head snapped up at the sound of my name, and Vincent's did the same. Coach had apparently ended his speech because the rest of the team was shuffling off to change while he glared at us.
My office! Now!
We obeyed without argument. We weren't stupid.
Do you want to take a guess as to why I called the two of you specifically in here?
Coach didn't wait for the door to fully close before launching into part two of his rant. Vincent and I remained silent.
I asked you a question.
Because we lost, I said. My stomach tightened at the word lost. Everyone hated losing. But today's loss stung particularly hard for me when I knew there were people actively rooting for me to fuck up at Black Castle. Namely, Holchester United fans who hated me for transferring to their biggest rival. I'd had plenty of naysayers growing up. Teachers who thought I'd never amount to anything. Football fans who thought I was a flash in the pan. Press who dug for dirt in every aspect of my life. And I couldn't stand proving my critics right.
No! It's not because we lost!
Coach snapped.
It's because you two are the ones the rest of the team looks up to the most. But you've let your stupid rivalry affect your game. Worst of all, it's affecting morale.
We sunk lower in our seats beneath his glare.
I knew there would be a transition period, but I thought you would get over it and work things out because you're adults. However, it seems like I'm dealing with children, because here we are. Post-season, and we have nothing to show for it except a host of mistakes that could have been easily avoided if you'd learned how to bloody work together!
Coach's voice rose with each word until it was loud enough to seep through the walls. The muted chatter from the locker room noticeably died down, and a flush of shame crawled across my face. Coach's disappointment was almost as unbearable as not winning the league. I'd idolized him growing up. And the opportunity to work with him had been a major factor behind me handing in my transfer request. This had not been how I'd envisioned ending our first season together. Vincent shifted beside me.
Coach, don't get me started with you.
Coach cut him off.
What the hell was that in the last 20 seconds? Donovan was right there. You should have passed in the bloody ball when you had the chance. See opening. Pass ball. It's football 101.
Vincent's mouth tightened. He couldn't say what we all knew. He hadn't passed the ball immediately because he hadn't wanted me to score the winning goal. The press would have replayed that kick over and over, and I would have received all the glory that came with it. Vincent wouldn't have been able to stand it. Selfish prick. I didn't dwell on whether I would have done the same had I been in his place. Coach's stare sharpened. He'd been a club manager long enough to figure out Vincent's motivations without him verbalizing it.
Since you want to act like children, I'll treat you like children, he said. Normally I leave off-season training up to the individual players, but not this summer. This summer you're both cross-training at the Royal Academy of Ballet, together. What?
Vincent and I exploded at the same time. My sense of self-preservation couldn't override my shock at Coach's edict. Clubs almost never dictated the specifics of how we spent our off-season. Players hailed from all over the world, which meant summer was their chance to go home, see their families, and train as they saw fit.
I already spoke with RAB's director. She's on board, Coach said. I didn't say anything before because I wanted to see if you two could pull it together by the last match and fucking win. You couldn't, so you'll be taking private lessons with the same instructor for the summer. She's one of their best, and she has an intimate knowledge of football. You'll be in good hands.
I didn't want to be in any fucking hands except my own. I had nothing against ballet, though I'd never cross-trained using its techniques. I knew players who had, and they sang its praises for improving their strength, flexibility, and footwork techniques. However, I'd already created my training plan. I didn't need a stranger jumping in and telling me what to do. Vincent straightened, his face taking on a ghostly pallor.
Don't tell me she's... Your instructor will be Scarlett Dubois!
Coach offered a mirthless smile.
You're welcome!
Dubois? As in Vincent's sister? I sputtered.
You're joking. That's a conflict of interest.
I'd never seen or met Vincent's sister, though I'd heard him talk about her. The two were close, which was just my luck. I didn't need the Dubois siblings conspiring against me together.
I don't want to train with my sister, Vincent said. That's not... No! It's a good thing neither of you has a say in the matter.
The volume of Coach's voice dropped back to normal levels, though it was no less cutting.
The director assured me she's the right person for the job, and that she won't let personal ties affect her work. I believe her. That means you two will train with Scarlett, and you will take it seriously. And gentlemen,
he pinned us with a warning glare,
when you return, you'd better convince me you're goddamn capable of working together instead of against each other, or you'll be riding the bench. I don't give a shit if you're the captain or the top scorer on the team. Understand? Yes, sir,
we muttered. Coach's mind was made up. There was nothing we could do or say to get out of it, which meant I was stuck with the Dubois siblings for an entire fucking summer. My jaw tightened. I didn't know much about Scarlett Dubois, but given she was related to Vincent, I knew one thing. I wasn't going to like her. At all.
Chapter 2. Scarlett. Now we go a little quicker. Back, side, back, side. I walked through the studio, correcting the students' posture and alignment. Don't overcross to the back. Now, demi-plié. My leg ached, but I ignored it. It was manageable compared to true flare-ups, which could last days or weeks or months, and there were only 10 minutes left until class ended. I'd deal with it then. The studio was quiet except for the sound of my voice and the piano music keeping pace with the movements. I taught the advanced and master classes, and at this level the students were so focused a nuclear bomb could go off and they wouldn't notice. I used to be one of those students. And as much as I love teaching, I wish I could rewind time so I was on the other side of these lessons. Things had been so different then, and... Stop it. No more self-pity, remember? I shook my head and refocused on the task at hand. Faster with the beat, Jenna. Up and stay. I faltered when my aches intensified but quickly recovered. Good. Open the supporting side a little more. I'd lived with more or less constant pain and fatigue for the past 5 years, so I pushed through to the end without incident. Nevertheless, it took all my willpower not to rush my students out after class so I could get off my feet and sit in silence. Just for a minute. Just so I could breathe.
Excuse me, Miss Dubois.
I glanced up. Emma stood before me, her hands fiddling first with her skirt and then the neckline of her leotard.
I'm sorry to bother you, but I have some news.
Her excitement shone through her usual reserve.
Remember when I auditioned for the Nutcracker last week? They released the cast list today. I'll be playing the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Oh my God. My hand flew to my mouth.
Congratulations, Emma, that's amazing.
It wasn't the most professional response, but Emma had been my student for years, and while we technically weren't supposed to play favourites, she was secretly my favourite. She worked hard, she had a great attitude, and she wasn't catty or competitive with her peers. The Nutcracker was her favourite ballet.
If anyone deserved its most prestigious role, it was her. I'd been one of the audition judges, but none of us knew the final cast until the director announced it. I hadn't checked my emails yet, so I'd missed it. Thank you. I still can't believe it, Emma said breathlessly. It's such a dream come true, and I couldn't have done it without you. If you're not busy, I'd love for you to come to the opening night. I know it's only May, and opening night isn't until December, and I know you usually don't attend the school showcases, but I thought I'd ask anyway. Rose coloured her cheeks. It'll be at the Westbury Theatre again. Westbury Theatre. The name punched a hole through my gut, and my excitement leaked out like water through a sieve. Emma was right. I never attended school showcases because they were always held at Westbury. I wanted to support my students, but the thought of going anywhere near the theatre caused panic to swell. You don't have to, Emma said, obviously picking up on my mood shift. She drew her bottom lip between her teeth. It's during the holidays, so I understand. No, it's not that. I forced a smile. I'd love to attend, but I might be out of town. I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know. I hated lying to her. But it was better than saying I would rather stab myself in the leg than step foot in Westbury. There were too many memories there. Too many ghosts of what I'd loved and lost. Okay. Emma's face regained some of its glow. I'll see you next class then? Of course. Congratulations again. My smile was more genuine this time. Sugar Plum Fairy is a huge role. You should be proud. I waited until the door shut and Emma was gone before I released a shaky breath and sank onto the floor. The ache in my leg sharpened into a bright, pointed pain, as if the mere mention of Westbury had awakened the worst parts of my condition. In, 1, 2, 3. Out, 1, 2, 3. I hated taking medication, so I breathed through the discomfort instead of reaching for the emergency packet I'd stashed in my bag. Luckily, my symptoms had improved a lot over the years, thanks to lifestyle changes and careful stress management. It wasn't like the months immediately following my accident, when I could barely get out of bed, but it wasn't a walk in the park either. I never knew when pain or fatigue would strike. I had to be on guard all the time, but I'd more or less learned to live with it. It was either adapt or wallow, and I'd done enough wallowing to last a lifetime. My phone rang. I picked it up without checking the caller ID. There was only one person in my contacts who had that ringtone. Lavinia wants to see you in her office, Karina said without preamble. Don't worry, it's nothing bad. A pause. I think. The shock was enough to take my mind off my leg for a second. Wait, seriously? Lavinia was the director of RAB and quite possibly the most intimidating person I'd ever met. I'd worked at the academy for 4 years, and I'd never heard of her calling an unscheduled meeting. This can't be good. Yes. Karina's voice dropped to a whisper. I tried to find out more, but she's being super hush-hush about it. She just told me to tell you to see her as soon as class is over. Right. I swallowed. Oh, God. I'm getting sacked. Was it because I refused to attend the school showcases? Did she think I was a bad team player? I mean, I wasn't the best team player, but that was because people were so... No, of course not. If she sacks you, she'll have to sack me too, Karina said. We're a package deal, and we both know she can't afford to lose her top instructor and her trusty assistant. I hold the keys to all her PDFs. A small laugh rippled across the surface of my anxiety. She always knew how to make me feel better. I'd lost a lot of friends after the accident, but I'd met Karina 3 years ago, when she joined RAB as Lavinia's executive assistant. We'd bonded her first day over our mutual love for trashy reality TV and jigsaw puzzles, and we'd been best friends since. I'm coming, I said. See you soon. I stood with a wince, but the pain gradually faded into a manageable ache again. Or maybe it was all in my head and manageable only relative to my sky-high anxiety over the surprise meeting. Karina was on the phone when I arrived, but she mouthed good luck and flashed me a thumbs up as I knocked on the director's door. Come in. I stepped inside with the caution of someone approaching an aggravated rattlesnake. Lavinia's office was as neat and polished as the woman herself. Giant windows overlooked the academy grounds, and an artfully arranged gallery of photos dominated the wall opposite the door. They captured the famous former prima ballerina in every stage of her career, from blossoming ingenue to international star to retired legend. Lavinia herself sat behind her desk, her hair pulled back into a bun, her glasses perched on her elegant nose as she flipped through some papers.
Please, sit.
She gestured at the chair opposite her. I obliged, trying to tame my rampage of nerves and failing miserably.
We're both busy, so I'll cut to the chase.
Lavinia was never one for beating around the bush.
We've partnered with the Black Castle Football Club on a special training program this summer. I want you to run point on it.
My mouth parted. Out of everything I'd imagined she'd say, a football cross-training program ranked in the bottom five. Granted, I'd run similar programs in the past, but they were usually for League One or Two teams, not for the freaking Premier League.
By run point, you mean you'll be training them. You're one of my best instructors and you're familiar with football,
Lavinia said.
I trust you'll do a good job.
I bit back a knee-jerk rejection. I knew exactly what she meant when she said I was familiar with football. After all, my brother was the captain of Black Castle. However, as much as I loved him and the club, I did not want to train him or his teammates. Most footballers were arrogant, insufferable, and selfish. I should know. I used to date one. Vincent was the only exception to my anti-footballer sentiments, and that was because he was family. I'm honored, I said carefully. But I have a full schedule this summer, and I think there are instructors who would be better suited for the role. Less conflict of interest. Lavinia's brows rose a fraction of an inch.
Are you saying you can't put aside personal feelings for the sake of professionalism?
Damn it. I'd walked straight into a trap I should have seen coming. No, of course not. I'm simply preempting problems based on other people's potential perception. I gave the first excuse I could think of. I don't want to be accused of favoritism.
I'll deal with any problems that might arise.
Lavinia looked unimpressed by my explanation. If it makes you feel better, you'll only be training two players, not the entire club. I blinked, blindsided, twice in the space of 5 minutes. That had to be a record. I thought it was strange Black Castle would require its players to stay in London for the off-season, but given their performance yesterday, I'd figured it was some sort of special exception. The two-player development was both a relief and a concern.
I assume my brother is one of the two players, I said.
Otherwise, Lavinia would have denied the conflict of interest issue.
Who's the other?
There was a short pause before she answered,
Asher Donovan.
My stomach dropped.
Asher Donovan?
I couldn't have contained my outburst if I'd tried. You want me to train Vincent and Asher in private lessons for an entire summer? They'll kill each other. I'd lost count of the number of times I'd had to listen to Vincent rant about Asher, and the internet was constantly debating who was the better player. I thought the comparisons were unfair considering they played different positions, but people love to pit the two against each other. It started years ago when an innocent online match poll asked people to choose the best up-and-coming footballer. Asher won by 1 point over Vincent, which had my brother fuming. Since then, their rivalry had escalated to encompass who got paid more, Asher, who had the most brand sponsorships, Vincent, and who won the most Ballon d'Ors, Asher, though they'd received an equal number of nominations. It came to a head at the last World Cup, when Asher's red card turned their feud into something even more bitter.
Part of your job is to ensure they don't kill each other.
Lavinia's face softened a smidge.
I realize it's unfair of me to spring this on you with so little notice, but when Frank reached out to me, we agreed to keep the arrangement under wraps for as long as possible in order to prevent leaks. Frank was Black Castle's manager. He also hadn't committed to his decision until after yesterday's match. I understood the reasoning, but that didn't mean I had to like it. In fact, the more I thought about it, the worse my gut churned. It was easy to figure out why Frank Armstrong was singling out my brother and Asher. Their animosity had led to plenty of issues and resulted in Black Castle losing this year's league. Things between them were bitter on a good day, and Frank obviously wanted them to patch things up by forcing them to train together. That was all well and good, but unfortunately that meant I was now caught in the middle. Asher Donovan. Of all the people in the world, the other player had to be him. He was most women's celebrity crush, and he might have been mine too had it not been for my loyalty to Vincent, my strict no-footballers rule, and his questionable reputation. Asher was generally regarded as the world's greatest footballer. The striker, who played as impressively as he looked, the saviour whose goals had brought his team back from the brink of defeat countless times. But for all his talent on the pitch, he was mired in controversy off it. The car crashes, the parties, the revolving door of women, all tabloid fodder that the public ate up like sweets at a children's party. I'd never met the man, but if other players had a god complex, I could only imagine how massive his was. "Is there anything I can say to get out of this?" I asked, hopefully. Lavinia's brows rose another half an inch. I held back a sigh. "That's what I figured." "Lessons start next Monday," she said. "You've cross-trained footballers before, so small tweaks to your previous regimens should be sufficient. I've also taken a look at your summer schedule and adjusted it accordingly. Are there any more questions?" It was a subtle dismissal. "No," I said. "I'll have a final training plan ready by Monday."
"Good." Lavinia returned to her papers.
"Thank you, Scarlett." Okay, that was a clear dismissal. When I exited her office, Karina was already waiting for me with her bag in hand. It was 6:35, which meant it was officially after work hours. She grimaced when she saw me. "That bad?" She could read my expressions better than anyone. "I'll tell you about it over drinks," I said. "I need one. Badly."
Chapter 3. Asher.
100 quid says you, Audubois, will punch the other before the month is over,"
a deal declared.
"Wilson, you taking that bet?"
"Absolutely not," Noah said, his tone dry. "Leave me out of your bets. They never end well."
"I have no idea what you mean, and I'm offended that's how you're sending me off for the summer."
Adil clutched his chest.
"When I'm on the flight home, I'll remember your words. They'll hurt."
"Good. Maybe you'll stop stirring up shit next season."
"Is that any way to talk to your teammate? What type of example are you setting for your daughter?"
"Yes, it is, and my daughter's not here," Noah said. I shook my head. Noah, Adil, and I were at the Angry Boar, our favorite pub, for a last get-together before they flew home to the US and Morocco, respectively. It was the day after our disastrous loss against Holchester, but they'd already heard all about Coach forcing Vincent and me to train together for the summer. I'd invited them out hoping for sympathy and distraction. I should have known better. Adil thought my situation was hilarious, and Noah was stoic as a rock. Wankers. "I'm going to order us another round," I said. "I'll be right back." Adil had moved on to needling Noah about his non-existent love life, and Noah was too busy ignoring him to do more than nod at my words. I made my way toward the bar, got a few glares and snide mutters, but no one openly pushed for a confrontation. There was a reason why footballers loved the Angry Boar, which served strong drinks, cheap food, and no bullshit. It had a strict no cameras, no autographs, and no brawls policy, enforced by triplet bouncers the size of mountains and the meanest owner this side of the Thames. The last person who'd violated its rules had gotten tossed out on his arse, literally, and banned for life. I ordered at the bar and glanced around the pub. A group of women blatantly stared at me from the corner and giggled to each other behind their hands, while a passing couple did a double take. The girl opened her mouth, but she didn't get a chance to speak before her boyfriend dragged her off and shot me a dirty look over his shoulder. I took it all in stride. Stares and whispers came with the territory, and at least there were no paparazzi here hoping to trip me up.
Here you go.
Mac, the owner, shoved two pints for me and Noah and one Coke for a deal across the counter.
Don't fucking spill it this time.
Come on, Mac. You still mad about the other week? We didn't actually break the jukebox. The Angry Boar was one of the few pubs with a jukebox, and Mac took great pride in it. He glared at me, his grizzled face wreathed with a scowl. He didn't give a shit about celebrities and was as likely to chew out a film star as he was the average Joe. It was why we loved him. I grinned. No spilling. Got it. I balanced the three glasses with both hands, turned, and promptly spilled one of them all over the person behind me. In my defense, she hadn't been there a second earlier, and she was standing so close, I couldn't have avoided her in time unless I had eyes in the back of my head.
Jesus Christ!
Mac exploded behind me, while the girl let out a string of curses colorful enough to make a sailor blush. I never would have thought someone so delicate-looking could string together those particular words in those particular ways. It was impressive.
Shit, I'm sorry.
I set the glasses down, grabbed a handful of napkins, and attempted to help her clean her shirt.
I didn't see you there.
She glanced up, and the expression that crossed her face would have been comical had it not been aimed at me.
You.
My eyebrows popped up. I was used to eliciting various reactions from the opposite sex, but horror typically wasn't one of them.
Have we met before?
I asked. The you sounded a little personal. I was almost positive we hadn't. If we'd crossed paths, I would have remembered her. She was objectively, unequivocally stunning. Glossy black hair, creamy skin, light grey eyes fringed with thick lashes. She looked like a classic Hollywood star in the mold of Ava Gardner and Hedy Lamarr. However, it was more than her looks. I met a lot of beautiful women in my line of work, but there was something about this girl. Even in a beer-stained shirt and jeans, she exuded an elegance that couldn't be bought or learned. You had to be born with it.
No, we haven't,
she said.
But I know who you are.
Her tone indicated that wasn't necessarily a good thing. Interesting. Maybe she was a Holchester fan. I hope not. Well then, it seems a bit unfair that you know my name and I don't know yours, I teased. I didn't date. If I wanted to be the greatest footballer in the world, I couldn't waste time or energy on a serious relationship. Many would argue I was already the greatest footballer, but I hadn't won a World Cup yet, and until I did, I couldn't assume that title. That being said, there was nothing wrong with a little flirting. Or a lot of flirting, if it involved this mystery girl.
Life isn't always fair,
she said, looking amused. The woman standing beside her muttered something under her breath. It sounded suspiciously like, he'll figure it out soon, but I couldn't be certain. Honestly, I'd been so captivated I hadn't realized she was with a friend until that moment. In that case, I'll settle for your number. I nodded at her shirt. I owe you a new top.
Oh, you'll settle for my number.
The glint of amusement in her eyes brightened. Yep, it'll be anonymous if you want. No name, just a number. So I can buy you a new shirt or pay for dry cleaning, of course.
Of course, I'm sure that's all you'll use the number for.
I shrugged, a smile playing around the corners of my mouth. I hadn't felt this light-hearted since the season final. Coming out to the pub had been a good idea after all. I can't guarantee things won't change in the future, but for now, my intentions are pure. I held up a hand. I promise. I really did intend on buying her a new top, so I wasn't lying, technically.
As much faith as I have in promises made by players.
Her emphasis on the last word made it clear she wasn't talking about my job title.
I have to respectfully decline. I can afford my own dry cleaning, and I don't like handing out private information to strangers.
She cocked an eyebrow.
Try not to spill any more beer on unsuspecting passers-by. It's a waste of good ale.
I stared, stunned as she walked away. A friend followed, half laughing and half sneaking peeks at me on her way to the exit. What the hell just happened? I couldn't remember the last time I'd been rejected. Surprisingly, I wasn't upset about it. I was intrigued. Jesus. The guy who could get any girl he wanted was fascinated by the one girl who wasn't impressed. I was a walking cliché.
Oof! Shut down hard!
Adil's voice shook me out of my stupor. I hadn't even noticed his and Noah's approach. He grabbed a soda from the counter and smirked at me.
She must have watched yesterday's match and thought you played like shit, too.
Shut up! But I wasn't paying attention to him. I was too focused on the flash of dark hair and blue jeans as she disappeared through the door. I'd never seen Mystery Girl before, but for some reason, I had a feeling this wouldn't be the last time we ran into each other. I spent the next week enjoying relative freedom. I hung out with friends, watched reruns of old shows, and took my favorite sports cars out for a spin or three. Football fired me up, but driving calmed me, and I'd amassed an enviable collection of luxury vehicles that I used for everyday errands or racing. However, I chose a nondescript car for my first session at the Royal Academy of Ballet. Paparazzi were a problem, and I didn't need a bright red Ferrari announcing my every move. When I arrived at RAB, I felt a pinch of satisfaction at the absence of Vincent's Lamborghini. He didn't drive decoy cars, so I knew he wasn't here yet. I parked close to the entrance, my thoughts split between the dreaded cross-training session and the girl I'd bumped into last week. I didn't know why I was still thinking about her. We'd exchanged only a handful of words. I didn't know a single thing about her other than the fact she could pay for her own dry cleaning and that she didn't like handing out private information to strangers. My mouth curved at the memory. I didn't wish for much outside the realm of football, but I'd give up one of my cars to see her again. Maybe. Possibly. Definitely. Perhaps it was a good thing she hadn't given me her name and number. I didn't need that big a distraction in my life. I entered RAB. Checked in with the starry-eyed receptionist at the front desk and followed her instructions to the training studio. Housed in a mansion that looked like something straight off a Regency movie set, the Royal Academy of Ballet was worlds away from the sweaty, utilitarian grounds of Blackcastle's training facility. There were paintings of ballerinas, photos of ballerinas, bronze statues of ballerinas. Basically, ballerinas everywhere. I guess subtlety wasn't their strong point. Then again, Blackcastle's facilities had our team logo stamped on every possible surface, so I shouldn't throw stones. I arrived at the studio just in time to see students from the previous class trickling out. I was early, so I hung back, waiting for the last person to turn the corner before I slipped inside. Thankfully, neither of the Dubois siblings were here yet, and I took the opportunity to examine my surroundings. I'd never attended a ballet performance before, much less been inside a studio. But it looked exactly as I'd imagined. A wall of mirrors reflected a row of giant arched windows, which overlooked the academy's manicured grounds. A wooden bar stretched the length of the room, and the floors gleamed so brightly I could almost see my reflection in them. The only out-of-place object was the giant tote wobbling on the edge of the corner table. It was stuffed with what looked like a jumper, a book, and whatever else people stashed in their totes. The weight of its contents must have been too much for the overworked bag, because, after a valiant effort to stay upright, it tipped over and spilled half its items across the floor with a raucous clatter. The book thudded to the ground. Pens rolled this way and that, while a scarf drifted dreamily on top of a small box. I half expected someone to run in and check on the disruption, but no one did. Should I pick up the stray items or wait for their owner to return? Would it be an invasion of privacy if I chose the former? Screw it. It would be weirder if she walked in to find me staring at her scattered belongings without doing a thing about it. I walked over and started scooping the contents back in their bag. Jumper, book, pens, makeup, keys, water bottle, tights, hairspray, canvas slippers, medication, sweat towel, heat pack, sewing kit, another book. Jesus, it was like Mary Poppins' magic bag. How the hell did she fit all of that inside one tote? I wedged a protein bar between her sunglasses and resistance bands. I didn't know how I'd get the...
What are you doing?
I glanced up, and my reply died an instant death. No, it can't be. She tied her hair up instead of leaving it down, and she wore a leotard, leg warmers over tights, and a wrap skirt instead of a shirt and jeans. But it was unmistakably her. the girl from the pub. She had the same midnight hair, the same red lips, the same piercing grey eyes that were currently boring a hole through my face. If it weren't for the tangible heat of her stare, I would have thought I'd conjured her through the mere force of my thoughts. "I'm not snooping." I recovered from my shock and raised my hands in a gesture of surrender. "The bag fell and I was simply picking up the items." She responded with a wary stare as she walked toward me, or rather toward her bag. I should have known she was a dancer. Even at the pub, she'd moved with the grace of one, her posture perfect, her movements smooth and fluid. But whereas I'd picked up on a touch of apprehension at the angry boar, here, she carried herself with the ease of someone who was completely in her element. "Do you go here?" I asked. I guessed she was in her mid-twenties, which seemed outside RAB's target age range, but maybe she was here for professional training. A small smirk crossed her mouth.
"You could say that."
"Then this is a sign. What are the chances we'd run into each other twice?" I hoped our schedules overlapped this summer. Seeing her might make my forced training sessions a bit more bearable. "Now, you have to tell me your name. It's only polite."
"Oh, I'm sure you'll find out soon enough,"
she said dryly. She bent to retrieve her scarf while I picked up the remaining book on the floor. The worn yellow and green cover sparked a flare of recognition. "Leo Agnelli," I said appreciatively. "Good taste." Our hands brushed when she reached for the outstretched book, and a frisson of electricity shot up my arm. It was so sharp, so unexpected, that I almost dropped the paperback. "What the hell?" She stiffened, making me wonder if she'd felt it too, but her expression was unreadable.
"You read Leo Agnelli?"
A tone contained a heavy dose of skepticism. "Occasionally." The little jolt must have been static from our clothing. That was the only feasible explanation. "Try not to act so surprised, Chloe. I promise I'll live up to your dumb athlete preconception of me in other ways." A small laugh escaped. She quickly covered it up, but it was too late. I'd heard it. She knew I'd heard it. And my ability to draw that smile out of her might just be the highlight of my shitty week.
"My name isn't Chloe,"
she said. "I didn't think so, but since you refuse to tell me what it actually is, I'll have to keep guessing until I get it right. Alice."
"That's going to get old real fast."
"Luckily, there's an easy solution to the problem." I was being pushier than normal, but I would have backed off if I'd picked up on any signs of discomfort from her. However, the gleam of laughter in her eyes told me she wasn't as annoyed as she pretended to be. And she hadn't pulled her hand away yet. We must have come to the same realization, because our gazes dropped to our hands at the same time. The air crackled with sudden tension, and another electric spark streaked through me. The first had been bright and brief, like lightning in a cloudless sky. This one was slower, more potent, and the heat from it made me feel like I was running laps in Markovic Stadium instead of standing frozen in an air-conditioned dance studio. Mystery girl swallowed, and even the steady hum of the AC wasn't enough to drown out my roaring pulse. I tried to think of something else to say, but I couldn't remember what we were talking about or why I was here. I hadn't been this out of sorts around a girl since my ill-fated childhood crush on Hayley Brompton. She'd moved to Brighton during year 5 and broke my heart. The thrill of seeing Mystery Girl again faded into trepidation. How did she have such a strong effect on me when I barely knew her? Maybe our close proximity wasn't a good thing after all. If I was smart, I'd stay away and focus on my goals. A league championship with Blackcastle, followed by the Euro Cup and the World Cup. My inexplicable fascination with this girl did not factor anywhere into the equation. Flirting was one thing, losing focus was another.
"Let's get this over with."
A familiar, unwelcome voice cut through the tension. Vincent strode in, wearing sunglasses inside like a douche. The girl finally yanked her hand away and shoved her book into her bag. I dropped my arm as well, though the shadow of a tingle remained.
"It's about time you showed up,"
she said, her cheeks noticeably redder than before.
"I thought I'd have to call and remind you about today's session."
"There was traffic, and I'm technically right on time. It's not my fault you show up early everywhere."
Vincent ignored me to focus on her.
"You ready to get started?"
Despite my misgivings about the girl and losing focus, a twinge of jealousy snaked through my gut at their easy banter. "Do you know each other?" I asked as casually as possible. She didn't seem like the type who'd go for Vincent, but stranger things have happened. In hell. She opened her mouth, but Vincent beat her to it. "Of course!" He looked at me like I was stupid. "She's my sister."
Chapter 4. Scarlet. I wish I could have snapped a photo of Asher's face when Vincent announced I was his sister. If his jaw had dropped any lower, he'd have to reattach it. I shouldn't have led him on by keeping my name to myself, but part of me had been amused at seeing the Asher Donovan flabbergasted by my refusal to fall at his feet like every other woman in the world. I wasn't above fangirling or celebrity crushes. For example, if I ever met Nate Reynolds, my favourite actor, I'd probably scream and pass out. I just didn't fangirl over footballers. Being related to one really took the shine out of their glory.
"Your sister?"
Asher finally found his words. His gaze travelled between me and Vincent. I understood why he was so shocked. Our parents couldn't have natural-born children, so they'd adopted us when we were babies. Vincent's dark eyes and light brown skin were the polar opposites of my grey eyes and pale complexion. But even though we weren't biologically related, he was my brother in every other sense of the word. Not a lot of people knew we were adopted, though, and it was always amusing to see their reactions when they found out we were siblings. "Scarlett Dubois," I said with a hint of apology. I really should have said something earlier. "Your new trainer." Asher cut a glance in my direction and an unsettling spark of electricity danced over my skin. Anti-footballer biases aside, the man was gorgeous. As in, gave Nate Reynolds a run for his money, movie star gorgeous. Thick dark hair flopped over his forehead, framing sculpted cheekbones and a sensual mouth. Unfairly long lashes fringed the greenest eyes I'd ever seen, and every inch of his body was chiseled to high-performance perfection. But the attraction wasn't even really about his looks, though they were objectively flawless. It was the charisma, the utter ease with which he moved in the spotlight that made it impossible to look away. Asher was one of the most famous athletes in the world, yet he possessed the down-to-earth charm of the boy next door. Raw masculinity wrapped in cool confidence. The combination was so magnetic even my antagonism toward footballers couldn't dull it. If he weren't my brother's teammate and rival, I would be swooning big time. Except he is, so you need to get it together. Anyway, I cleared my throat, my skin still tingling from our brief touch earlier. It must be the static from my clothes. That was what I got for wearing wool in May. Let's start. The focus of our training will be strength, stamina, and flexibility. We'll start with warm-ups, then move to footwork. I gradually relaxed as the session got underway and my unease over Asher's proximity faded beneath my desire to do a good job. I hadn't wanted this role, but now that I had it, I was going to excel, damn it. "Let's move into some deep stretches," I said after we finished basic warm-ups. "We're going to lift our right leg onto the bar, breathe, and lower our chest to our leg. Go slowly, take your time." I demonstrated the movement for them, luxuriating in the stretch and the gentle music playing in the background. This was the most calming part of—
Damn it!
My head jerked up at Vincent's curse. I lowered my leg and turned to see him struggling to get his foot up on the bar. Football didn't naturally develop flexibility the way dance and gymnastics did, so some stretches were difficult for the players. However, Asher was already in the correct position and reveling in my brother's difficulties.
"It's a simple stretch, Dubois,"
he drawled.
"But it's okay if you can't do it. We can't all have natural talent."
Vincent's face flushed. He hated being second best, especially to Asher. I never said it out loud, but I suspected that was the reason why he did what he did in the last World Cup. If he'd been up against anyone else, he wouldn't have faked that injury. He despised diving, but his rivalry with Asher often made him do stupid things.
I'm not surprised you have such a low bar for what you consider talent.
Vincent snapped.
Newsflash, Donovan. Tricks and flashy goals don't mean you're better than other people. That's not what the Ballon d'Or jurors thought when they presented me with my fourth award last year.
Asher had won the prestigious award for best player of the season 4 times. Vincent had won it 2.
Besides, it appears that for you the bar isn't low enough.
Asher smirked at Vincent's form. My brother's knuckles whitened around the bar.
You!
Enough, I said sharply. Let's get back to work. If you want to argue, do it on your own time. They lapsed into mulish silence, but to their credit, they didn't attempt to pick a fight with each other again during the session. I modified some of the stretches for Vincent, and we spent the next hour drilling into different footwork techniques, which was where football and ballet had the biggest crossover. Neither of them had cross-trained with dance before, so I took it easy on them the first day. Even so, by the time our session ended, everyone was exhausted and dripping with sweat.
I take back everything I said about football being more strenuous than ballet.
Vincent guzzled a bottle of water. His face gleamed with perspiration.
I can't believe you did this for fun for half your life.
It wasn't just for fun. It was my job, I reminded him. A pang hit me at the word was, as in former. As in, it was no longer my job. Not the professional dance part, anyway. And yes, I had found ballet fun when I was younger. I'd loved the discipline, the choreography and the costumes, but most of all, I'd loved discovering something I had a natural talent for. While my peers stressed about what they were going to do after graduation, I already had my future locked in. Then a rainy summer night stole that future away, and I was left with the pieces of what could have been. A wave of prickles swarmed my skin. I turned and wiped down the bar, hoping Vincent didn't pick up on my mood shift. I loved that he didn't tiptoe around my past the way our parents did, but sometimes I wasn't in the right mental space to talk about it.
If the sessions are too hard for you, you could quit,
Asher said. He grabbed a wipe to help me clean the bar, and this time the tingles suffusing my body had nothing to do with the ghosts of my past.
I'm sure Coach would understand.
Vincent's eyes sharpened.
Oh, I'll be fine. I'm more worried about you.
He tossed his empty bottle into his duffel bag.
After all, only one person in this room has a World Cup to their name, and it's not you.
The temperature plummeted to sub-Arctic levels. Asher's face hardened as I suppressed a wince. Even I knew bringing up the World Cup was a no-no around him, and I barely knew the man.
Perhaps not. But at least I don't have to cheat to win. Cheating according to whom? Not the ref. Not the—
Stop it. My interjection sliced through their argument for the second time that day. I let your earlier spat slide, but I won't do that again. This is a training session, not a cage fight. I don't know how you operate in your club, but in my studio, you will behave like adults and you will act like professionals. If you can't or won't do that, then I'm happy to relay that message to your manager because I did not sign up to be your babysitter, mediator, or therapist. Is that clear? Asher and Vincent gaped at me, their brewing fight forgotten. I rarely yelled, but between my unwanted reactions to Asher and the prospect of dealing with their bickering for an entire summer, I'd just about had it. Is that clear? I repeated.
Crystal.
Asher responded first, his earlier scowl melting into something akin to appreciation as he examined me. I almost preferred the scowl.
You got it, sis.
Vincent offered a cheeky smile when I glared at him, but he didn't attempt to provoke Asher again. Well, Asher had provoked him first, but he'd escalated it by bringing up the World Cup.
I'll see you for dinner Thursday.
I wasn't fooled. He wanted to remind Asher that he was the odd man out in this trio, but if he thought I'd show him favoritism just because he was my brother, he was sorely mistaken. Nevertheless, I nodded. Remember, it's your turn to choose. Vincent and I had a standing Thursday night sibling dinner every week, barring travel and club obligations. I'd stayed in London with our mother while he'd moved to Paris with our father after our parents' divorce, so we only saw each other during holidays growing up. After he transferred to Blackcastle a few years ago, we tried to make up for lost time. Nothing beat family, especially when you were surrounded by as many wannabe freeloaders and starfuckers as Vincent was.
I have a match interview in an hour, so I'll see you later.
He shot a warning glare at Asha before leaving. I shook my head. The match mention was obviously aimed at Asha. The two competed for press and sponsorships off the pitch, as much as they did for glory on the pitch. Everything was a dick-measuring contest to them, and they were constantly trying to one-up the other.
So?
Asha said as I packed up and got ready to leave too. Their session was my last of the day, and I was looking forward to a nice long bath at home. It helped with the aches and pains, plus I liked the bubbles.
I finally know your name.
Did it live up to your expectations? I quipped.
Half of it did. You look like a Scarlet.
His gaze briefly touched my mouth and my skin warmed yet again. Ah, but the Dubois threw you off.
You could say that.
The careless grin he threw my way shouldn't have made my pulse race, but it did.
However, I have to commend you on achieving something that I thought was impossible.
What's that?
Making me like someone with the last name Dubois.
I rolled my eyes even as I fought an exasperated laugh. You are an incorrigible flirt.
Flirt? Yes. Incorrigible? That's a matter of opinion.
Asha followed me into the hall, his long legs keeping easy pace with my brisk stride.
Besides, I have to be extra nice to you now that I know you're Vincent's sister. You've suffered enough.
My laugh finally broke free, and his answering smile soothed my sting of guilt over laughing at Vincent's expense. I truly wasn't prepared for how charismatic Asha was in person. I'd glimpsed it at the pub last week, but the effect had been muted by the beer spill and our crowded surroundings. Being alone with him after seeing him in action during training and bearing the full weight of his attention when there was no one else around, that was a whole other matter. He commanded attention the way no one else did. It was dangerous.
Are you two step-siblings?
Asha asked when I didn't respond. Adopted. It wasn't a secret, though we didn't go around screaming about it. Before you say anything else, this, I gestured between us, ends now. Amusement slid across his infuriatingly perfect face.
What's this?
The flirting. It's unprofessional.
I'm afraid flirting is part of my nature, darling.
Ugh, it should be illegal for any word to sound as delicious as darling did in Asha's deep, silky voice. Well, change it or suppress it.
That's not how nature works.
It is at RAB. I spotted my salvation at the end of the hall. Carino, there you are. I sped up my pace. Finally, someone who could act as a buffer. I was looking for you. She glanced up from the sheaf of papers in her hands. You were? Of course you were. Her eyes fell on Asha, and I swore I heard a dreamy sigh. Oh no, not you too. Hi.
Hey.
His grin could only be described as panty melting.
I saw you at the pub last week with Scarlet, right? I'm Asha.
He held out his hand, which she grabbed with far too much enthusiasm. Carina. It's so nice to officially meet you. I'm a huge fan. Asha upped the wattage of his smile.
Thanks. Perhaps you can help convince Scarlet I'm not the devil, then.
He dropped his voice to a conspiratorial whisper.
I don't think she likes me very much.
She doesn't like anyone very much. But don't worry, she'll come around, eventually. Excuse me, I crossed my arms. I'm standing right here. Yes, I know, my traitor of a friend said. She tacked one of the papers to the bulletin board. Let me finish putting this up, then we can leave. Asha examined the sheet.
Staff showcase auditions,
he read aloud.
This year's featured performance will be Lorena. I've never heard of that ballet.
It's a newer piece, Carina explained. Contemporary, not classic.
Which role are you auditioning for?
He asked me.
I'd love to see you on stage. Show me how the professionals do it.
This time, even his smile wasn't enough to unknot the twist in my gut. None, I said. I don't participate in showcases.
Why not?
Because I avoided Karina's sympathetic stare. Besides Vincent, she was the only person who knew my hang-ups around performing. I don't have time. The showcase is a lot of work, she added, backing me up. Staff participation isn't mandatory.
That's too bad.
Asher appeared genuinely disappointed. He wasn't the only one. If I could snap my fingers and get one wish, I'd wish for the ability to dance on stage again. But life didn't work that way. We have to go, or we'll miss our train. I hooked my arm through Karina's and dragged her down the hall before he drew us deeper into conversation. I'll see you Wednesday for our next session, I added, glancing back over my shoulder. His mouth tilted up like he knew exactly why I was rushing off.
Looking forward to it, Scarlett.
A breathless shiver slipped down my spine. If the way he said darling was illegal, the velvety intimacy with which he uttered my name was downright sinful. I didn't look back, but the warmth of his gaze lingered long after we'd turned the corner. Wow, Karina said once we were out of earshot. She didn't have to elaborate. For better or worse, I knew exactly what she meant.
Chapter 5. Asher. Mystery girl was Scarlett. Scarlett was Vincent's sister. Vincent's sister was our new trainer. I'd had 2 days to wrap my head around those mind fucks, and I still couldn't pinpoint how I felt about them. Scarlett was nothing like how I'd imagined Vincent's sister would be. She was quieter, wittier, and pricklier in the most charming way. I'd shown up at RAB on Monday, prepared to tolerate her at best. Now I found out the girl I couldn't stop thinking about was related to my biggest rival. The universe had a sick sense of humor. I paused in the studio's doorway. Scarlett was already in there setting up, but something kept me from entering right away. I told myself I would stay away from her before I found out who she was. Obviously, I didn't have that option anymore. But you do have the option of not showing up extra early in order to spend more alone time with her, an annoying voice pointed out in my head. My jaw tensed. Oh, shut up. Arguing with myself. Never a good sign. Scarlett turned. Our gazes collided, and a streak of awareness ran down the length of my spine.
You're early.
She didn't move from her spot near the bar, nor did I move from the doorway. I'm just that type of student.
You mean a teacher's pet?
Darling, if you want to call me pet, I won't stop you. My mouth curled into a tiny grin at the pink tint creeping over her neck and face. She blushed so easily. It was adorable, especially when it contradicted the words coming out of her mouth.
Two new rules,
she said.
One, no flirting.